Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Oh, if I can find a guy that's like, "Work, bitch, I can't wait to fuck you later, girl." That sounds fun.
Welcome back to That's a Gay Ass Podcast, the podcast that asks, whose fault is it that you're queer? It is me, Eric Williams, and this week is the stunning Roz Hernandez. She's one of the stars of the new Hulu show, Living for the Dead, about queer paranormal investigators. You have got to watch it. You also might know her from the podcast Ghosted by Roz Hernandez. It is a huge podcast, and I'm a huge fan of it. I asked her to do the pod because I've been a fan of her comedy for a long time, and she discusses sex and polyamory and being a gorgeous trans woman, and I knew she'd be perfect for this gay-ass pod, and Roz D. Live hers. Big shout out to a couple stunning reviews from this week. First goes to Bandit's Dad 8, who chose Laurie Metcalf as the favorite character actress, but also shouted out Amy Ryan and someone I'm trying to get on this gay-ass podcast who goes by the name Niecy Nash. Just pray for me. I've not heard a damn thing. There's no sign saying that she will come on, but eventually she will. Let's manifest. My other favorite review is from Renly May. Shout out, Queen. Renly wrote, "Eric is my favorite character actress." So you agree. I'm old. I'm kidding. Renly writes, "Eric is so funny. I'm smiling and laughing throughout. Love his theater and cultural knowledge, juicy tidbits from his life, and his excellent interviews. But if you aren't a Patreon subscriber, you're missing some of the best eps. Get on it, girly. Become a fabulous fagatrini and show your support." Oh, and the character actress I'd save, Catherine Hahn. Have you heard a more perfect review? Plug in the pod, plug in the Patreon, and giving us a nod. Wow. I'm fully sober, but I think I blacked out. My synapses went faggot. Anywho, thank you for the Catherine Hahn shout out. And Renly, thank you for also bringing awareness to the Patreon. It is a good place to be. If you want to listen to the bonus episode this week, I'm very, very proud of it. We talk about our inner saboteurs, gay dating, and of course, I had to discuss Pierce Brosnan's chest hair and Mrs. Doubtfire as a follow-up to my appearance on Liam Garrow's podcast, Tell Me Everything. You can join that for just $5 a month to get those bonus episodes. Patreon.com/gayasspodcast. We're going to get into this episode with Roz Hernandez. We talk about exorcisms, community theater, and the type of guy that Roz is trying to fuck. I hope you enjoy, and I'm so glad you're here. Roz Hernandez of Living for the Dead fame of the gorgeous podcast Ghosted is here on That's a Gay Ass Podcast. Roz, thank you so much for giving us this stunning energy today.
Oh my God, thanks for having me. I love gay men. Gay men love me. I just think they're so sassy and fabulous.
And I don't disagree. That was Samantha. I'm also a fan of gay men, but I love that you love us too. And there's so much to discuss with you about, sure, gay men, but also ghosts, if you can believe. Can I first give you a big mazel tov on the 5-year anniversary of your podcast, Ghosted? That's a huge deal.
Oh my God, thank you. I don't know how this happened to me because I'm honestly just like a retired drag queen that I've been doing stand-up comedy for 11 years in LA. And then, yeah, 5 years ago-ish, I was like, I should do a podcast. I don't know what to talk about. And like, I like talking to people about ghosts when I'm at parties and stuff. So yeah. Then I just turned that into a podcast, and now it's been 5 years of the show, and because of all that, I'm starring in a television show about ghosts.
Yeah, you fucking are. I mean, it's such a great show, Living for the Dead. I am going to ask you kind of, I love BTS about when people get to make it and slay like you have. So I want to, I will talk to you about kind of how we got from the Ghosted Pod to all of a sudden she is on Hulu. However, before we get into that, I just want to list off some of your guests that you've had on Ghosted. You've had T.S. Madison, Kristen Stewart, Margaret Cho, Busy Phillips, Nicole Byer. And then I was walking my child around the reservoir this morning, and I listened to one of my dear friends, Zach Noe Towers' episode. This fucking podcast is so good. And my first question for you is, because obviously you talk about ghost stories, people write in. Were you a girlina as a kid that like had the sixth sense? Why were you at parties talking about ghosts so much?
I think it's because I grew up Catholic. And it was kind of instilled in me from a young age that there's more than what meets the eye. But also, being queer and just a general weirdo and not agreeing with a lot of the things I was taught, I've always kind of been like, is it real? It's kind of fun to think it is. And so I'm very skeptical of the paranormal, actually. I love to hear stories. I love to talk about it and ponder. I'm a big ponderer. Yeah. But at the end of the day, I mean, I think why it's so fun is it's called the unknown for a reason. We don't know. We don't have answers. And I don't have any kind of sixth sense or anything. I think I'm good. It's like the typical, am I judgmental or am I an empath? I don't know. I don't identify.
Wait, I haven't heard that. I identify as the least monstrous version of an empath, because like when people say things, I feel all of it in my tummy. But do I give off, am I judgmental? Is that what it is?
Well, because that's how it comes off with me. My friends... I also just wonder if I don't want my friends to date and I just want them all to myself. That's another thing. I have therapy after this. We'll figure this one out.
Good.
But I swear to God, most of the time, my friends will be like, I met this person. And I'm like, that right there? Nope. I'm going to tell you. I'm telling you. That's a no. And you're going to come back. Don't call me.
That's actually kind of a gorgeous... emotional arc of you're the main character in the show where all of your friends are single because you won't allow them to have outside relationships, and then it's the story of how you lose them and then ultimately they come back to you in a more full way. I would watch that show.
I mean, I'm just and I do it with my own self too. I really trust my intuition, and I think everyone should, because we have it for a reason.
Well, I've talked about that a lot on this podcast, about especially queer people. Like, we were told to not trust our intuition growing up.
Mm.
And to relearn that has been truly like a mission of my 30s. I do want to ask, though, because you brought up the Catholicism of your upbringing. Do you believe in people being possessed and exorcisms? I recently watched a documentary and I'm dying to know your take.
What documentary was it?
It was about this young kid who was possessed, apparently, and then his mom called up these two people who were becoming famous for going around the world and helping with and doing exorcisms. And the documentary follows this kid who's now an adult, and most of the siblings agree that he was possessed and yelling crazy shit. There's one sibling who thinks it was a mental health situation. The dad of the kid thought it was a mental health situation. And so they thought that the two people who are a married couple doing the exorcisms and like being famous around the world, they kind of thought that they were implanting the ideas of like, are you saying crazy shit? The kid wasn't, but the next day they started saying crazy shit. And as a Jew, I'm like, the exorcism, it all feels very camp to me.
Uh-huh.
You know, you fucking cocksucker. Like, it all feels very like, it feels very high camp, but
yeah, it's
basically
like a drag queen situation.
Yeah, it's a hungry drag queen that needs to be satiated.
First of all, I'm obsessed with you talking about this couple that they were like the it couple of the exorcism community. They were like on everyone's radar. They were coming up in the
hottest exorcists of their time. Honey, they cannot walk down a New York block
without people being like, your mother sucks cocks.
And they go, thank you.
Oh, that is us. Yes.
You're so sweet.
My first instinct is to go to the mental health side of things. I'm very into mental health and the legitimacy of that. I think a lot of times in reported paranormal activity, it's like, it's something that should not be ignored, in my opinion. But like with all things paranormal, for me, it's sort of like, let's try to think of literally every single thing that it could be, and when we still can't find something, okay, that's the good stuff.
That's the devil. If it's not a cold, if it's not indigestion. Honey, that's the devil.
And Lil Nas X better, you know, get his man. Remember that music video?
Oh, I do. The pull down to hell.
Yeah.
It's a very good point, because I do think mental health has only recently, what we'd say in our generation, become something that is A, okay to talk about, and B, like a thing that we kind of can mostly agree most people would benefit from. Do you think, have you ever been in a relationship that's done couples therapy?
No, I've gotten to points where we've considered it and I'm like, wait a minute, we've been together for a year and a half. If we're at this point right now, I just think that this is too much work. And so no.
I do get that. The year and a half of it all is, you want to have at least a couple years of honeymoon
problems to report back to the therapist.
Well, yeah, and you need more info. Matt and I did not go to couples therapy until we were like 5 years in. And of course we were in a bit of crisis when we went, because it was like, oh, things are no bueno, and also, spoiler alert, we're planning a wedding. So that was like a fun timing, but it of course helped us so much, and we ended up being better than we were before. And I any chance I can have to talk about couples therapy, I'm like, I want it to be a little more open and less stigmatized, because, honey, relationships are hard. Friend relationships, romantic relationships. Mm-hmm. We sometimes need an intervention.
Right. I always talk about transitions. Like, transitions are a big one for me, because, spoiler alert, I'm transgender. So I've gone through...
Famously loves a transition.
Yeah. Went through that and continue to. And I'm 9 years sober. I'm, for the first time in my life, learning what it's like to be on TV. It's all transitions. And I think that we all have transitions in life, even if it's just like getting a new roommate or a new relationship, a new job, whatever. Like, when we go through these things, I really think that we need guidance and someone to talk to that isn't just a friend. I think it's important. I think about it a lot with people that transition. For my personal opinion, is start on the inside first. That's my advice, because like when I decided to come out as trans, I did 2 years of therapy about it before I did that.
Damn.
Just so I knew I wasn't gonna, you know, I just knew I needed to know. And I mean, I get that therapy is not super accessible for everyone, but when I was in that situation, it's not like I was rich or anything. I just like, I viewed my mental health, also being sober and being in a position where I know that's like life or death for me, where I'm like, it's like food. It's like living, you know, having an apartment. I have to figure out how to pay for it because it's just so important to me.
Oh my God, that is really resonating hard. Our health insurance changed, and I have a therapist who has been a lifeline for me, and now she's no longer under my health insurance, and so I'm paying out of pocket, and I'm now going every 2 weeks, and it's not hitting for me. So I think if I may say publicly, I think I'm going to start to go to her every week again with the plan to transition to a new person, because it's just the financial stress adds to the mental health stress. And so it's like, what are we doing here?
Financial stress is like the worst thing for a brain, I swear to God. And I'm so sick of it. And I still deal with it, and I've always dealt with it like my entire adult life. But I try to use it as motivation to...
Do you have a scarcity mindset? Is that the trauma?
Yeah, I think so.
Because that's what I do.
I live very out of my means. I'm very like...
Wait, what does she get that she shouldn't be getting?
Nothing good. It's like I have an antique problem. I have a...
Oh, you are? I also heard, I listened on your podcast that you're a hoarder as well.
I'm a hoarder, but I'm a hoarder of like one of a kind. Well, I think that's what any hoarder would say. They're special. Each thing is special.
That's what any queer hoarder would say.
No. See, it's one of a kind.
Nobody else has this.
I needed that for my cabinet.
My home is like, it's a, I don't even know, some kind of like wonder emporium or something. I've got
Mr. Magoo.
Yeah, I got so many random ass things that it's because I go to these damn flea markets or whatever, and I'm like, well, no one else should have that. It should be mine. And I might never see it again. So I snatch it up.
I love this. I'm learning so much about you with the possessiveness of it all. Talk about possessed with the ghost. I love that, like, the objects need to belong to you. Your friends, we belong to each other.
Yeah, there's something I have control here, I think, problems for sure.
I don't know if it's control. It's just, there's a poetry to it. There's like a beautiful sense of ownership that I think is actually a superpower.
Let me bring it back to transness. I think in my adult life, it is my saying, now it's my turn. And everything is going to be mine in the way I want it to be. And every dream I've ever had, I'm going to fulfill. If I want my bed to be a big circle, king size bed, I'm going to get one. And
is that what you have?
I do, yeah.
Oh my God.
I'm just like, I'm going to figure it out. And again, this is coming from someone that's not wealthy. I'm like, I'll work and not get food delivery for a couple of months. And then with that money, I'm going to buy a giant neon sign from a tarot reader that went out of business and put it in my living room.
Oh, yeah. Wait, that's chic. No, that's chic. I can absolutely see that working. No, it's also what you're giving me is the queer version of my mom always says, you're never going to feel ready to have kids. You just got to do it. Because of course she's trying to get as many grandchildren as humanly possible. And for you, it's like, you're never going to be able to afford the circle bed, but you will figure it out.
Yes, that's like, my kids.
Those are your kids. Oh yeah, I mean, I'm undecided when it comes to kids, and I can fully see having the trinkets, the tchotchkes, and the tarot signs being our living, breathing children. But listen, Roz Hernandez, I need to ask you the famous podcast question, which is, whose fault is it that you're queer? Who do we blame, Beebe?
I think it's the Catholic Church. Going back to it, I'm obsessed with Catholicism. I never stop talking about it. It's like, this is talk
and
about
you,
like
and you shouldn't.
A breakup, you know, it's like I'm obsessed with my ex kind of a thing. I just can never stop talking shit or like.
Well, then let's dive into the were you a Catholic school person?
Yep. Catholic school. I went to, I believe it's the oldest boy girl Catholic school in America. And it's also where my mother and grandfather went. Uniform, all that.
Wow.
There's something about Catholic Church that I think made me everything I am. Like the performance of it, like talk about drag, loved it. just like everything was so fabulous and bedazzled. And I don't know, I loved the pageantry of it. And I don't, who knows the what came first, the chicken or the egg or whatever, when it comes to, did I always question things? Did I always go, oh, I'm not allowed to do that? No, I want to.
Yeah.
I don't know, but definitely once I started getting preteen teens and we started learning more about homosexuality and like all the fun stuff, that's when I think it made me want it more.
I always find that part of Catholicism so interesting, because I'm very excited for Matt to listen to this episode, because he also went to Catholic school, the same school that his parents went to. They met at that Catholic school. He also did the uniform. But it seems to be like you kind of use it as a superpower-ness of like that being your background. I think a lot of people in Catholicism, I just think about like, were you told you were going to burn in hell, like about the homosexuality of it all in school? Like that to me seems the most difficult part to swallow.
Yeah, but I don't remember hearing that quote against me, but it was, I think that the way that it was discussed for me and my, I almost said coworkers, fellow student would have been like, here's the thoughts on this, and it's not, you know, it is believed that if you do that, you will go to hell. That is considered a mortal sin or what, you know, the bad one. So either way, I knew it was not very encouraging. And then certain topics would come up where it was sort of, you're playing the role of God and you're not supposed to do that. And that is like very the stance on trans people, I believe. You know, it's sort of like you're basically telling God he messed up on the job and you can't do that. So, yeah, it was just not very encouraging of any of that.
No. Can you tell us where geographically this Catholic school was, where you grew
Michigan.
Up? Oh, go blue. So a Michigan Catholic school that your parents and grandparents went to, you at least, though, had the faggotry of high school theater, I've seen in your material. And as a fellow theater queen myself, I find it to be necessary to ask about what she did. By the way, your joke, if I may tell you how much I love it, is you basically say how you used it as an excuse to wear as much makeup as you could.
Yeah.
And then you say your teacher was like, sweetie, I don't think John Proctor in the Crucible needs a winged tip. Is that the truth, that you were a full beat theater gal?
Yes, but I always had a problem with people my age. When I was like 14, who I considered my best friend, she would not consider me her best friend. She was a 36-year-old woman that owned a vintage clothing store, and I would walk to it after school and just like hang out with her, because I was like, you're an adult and you're like not my parents, and I just want to talk about adult stuff. I never was into people my own age. And so I did a lot of theater, like the community theater, you know, with grown-ups, with real working community theater actors.
I'm picturing you with your cup of coffee. You're fully 12 and a half.
Oh, yeah. And you know what's funny is that like that time period has come back. At that time, my big purchase, $60, was an Ed Hardy hat. Now, this was before Ed Hardy became like the douchey bro thing. It was the first when it was like the Hollywood starlet trucker hat era. I bought two Ed Hardy hats online, and you better believe I would walk into those rehearsals with that and my coffee.
Oh my God. And what were you rehearsing? Give us the Community Theater Players Presents.
Well, I never did musicals. I did a lot of plays, but I'm just trying to think like which ones were like iconic. like The Lion in Winter. I guess that's one that's like people might know.
I'm picturing like arsenic and old lace. I'm just picturing like Samuel French highlights.
There was a couple that were like a local playwright wrote, and moments where it's like, he's in the building, you guys, he's here, like kind of waiting for Guffman. And like, we better do him proud, he wrote this.
Turns out his day job was fully, he runs the cashier at the local Duane Reade.
Possibly. Or there it might have been Meijer is the grocery
Meijer,
store,
right,
which is iconic,
with a J.
Yes, M-E-I-J-E-R. It's like the best ever. Seriously,
shout out,
you can go to Meijer. People don't understand. It's so hard when you move away from Meijer because you need to go to like five different places to get all you can get in this one building. I mean, it's basically, I think like the closest thing to a Meijer would be like a big Target or I guess Walmart, but the quality is really good with a lot of stuff. And they straight up, like, you can get a haircut in there. You could get, they sell some live animals. You can buy a hamster. You could buy a goldfish. You can buy, I mean, at the time, CDs. Whatever you need. The amazing produce. Meijer.
This episode
is brought to you by Meijer. For our Midwest listeners.
Yes, if you're in the states of Illinois, Michigan, or Oklahoma. Shout out, Oklahoma gays, whoever you are out there. We stan a Meijer. We stan a community theater. And we stan the old lady at the vintage shop who, and by old lady, I mean person.
36-year-old.
The old lady at 36 who talked to you like a human being. So if you're in Michigan Catholic School Community Theater, where do you go post high school?
I thought you were going to say post show because that would have been Panera Bread.
I really want to get into the night of the show. So the playwright is there. You get in the car. Where do you drive to?
Get a big old bowl, bread bowl of broccoli cheddar soup and debrief.
Yes.
Okay, so then I moved to Los Angeles when I was 17, and
wow,
I've been here ever since.
Holy shit, you went straight for the Hollywood Hills.
Yeah.
And then you truly started doing stand-up pretty immediately?
No, I started doing stand-up in 2013.
Still, I mean, it's pretty cool to see someone grow up in Michigan, move to LA, and make their fucking dreams come true. And it's not the easiest thing to do. And I'm snapping for you.
Thank you. I know. I wish I was like a Nepo baby. I'm not. It's taken me way longer than I think it should. But
well, can we get into that then? Let's talk about, because I am, you know, full transparency, I am also someone who has felt that it's been taking a little longer than I maybe thought it would have. However, I'm starting to feel these really exciting things happen with the podcast and things behind the scenes. And watching you, it genuinely inspires me to see how the hard work, you know, it can be possible. So can I ask you some BTS on, for anyone who hasn't watched Living for the Dead on Hulu, it's Queer Paranormal Investigators. It's such a funny, smart, good show. Kristen Stewart executive produces it. There is a clip that you have posted that I truly could watch over and over where a homophobic ghost first calls you fat. You say, fat? You then say, are you talking to me? And then it goes, faggot. You go, oh, he just used the F word, the gay one. It's so unexpected to put a queer lens on paranormal investigation, and I'm thrilled that you did so. So the question of this is, can you talk about how we went from, I assume your podcast inspired at least your involvement with the show. How did you get from A to B?
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess it's the way that my queerness manifests that. Sometimes I think when you're queer, and this might be another judgmental thing on my behalf, but I think that sometimes when you're queer, maybe always, whether you realize it or not, our at a fork in the road where it's, do I blend in and do I just try to be, yes, I'm gay, but it's, that's not everything. It's just a part of me. Do you do that? Or do you go, okay, I'm different and I like that. And that's what makes me powerful. And I want to just keep being different. That's what I think. And for me, I feel like I felt like such a freak for so many years that I'm like, honestly, it doesn't even feel comfortable doing what other people are doing. I don't like it. I just don't.
Yes.
If someone's already doing something, I'm not interested. Or like, I'm not interested in doing it for myself. Someone's already doing it. And for me, I think when it came to the paranormal, I've always liked that kind of a thing. But I wasn't seeing anybody bringing queerness into it. I wasn't seeing anybody bringing comedy, like at least not from the comedy world. I mean, people with senses of humor, sure, but like maybe just bringing the approach of incorporating comedians and drag queens and people from the queer world to talk about this stuff. And so I think when the time came for this TV show, I think they were looking for people that were queer and in the paranormal world. And when I first got called about it, they were like, we want like someone that's funny, that's in the paranormal world and is queer. And I'm like, honestly, it's a very niche market, but I think I cornered it for the most part.
You found your girl. I want to affirm what you said about the fork in the road, because that really struck me hard. I, too, did not enjoy the path of fitting in. It really did not feel... I felt like I was blaming and shaming myself. And now that I've taken this path of enjoying the difference of it all... I had someone say to me in my life somewhat recently, the past few years, you seem really defensive and you're always making it a gay thing. And when they said this to me, I had to defend myself. And I have to tell you, Roz, it felt actually really fucking good to defend myself, because the old me would have been like, am I annoying? Am I saying too much? But I knew, and talk about trusting your gut. My gut was like, alarm bells, alarm bells. You are not being defensive or making it all about the gay thing. You are actually just being who you are and standing up for yourself. And that's, and literally I had to tell this person a few times what that felt like. And they ended up understanding, but it's not an easy path, but it ends up feeling so much more empowering and authentic. And so, you know, back to the show, I think the stars absolutely aligned, partly because you lived in your like queer weirdo truth of loving the paranormal. And I'm glad that the people behind the show saw you and they were like, I mean, she's it. There's no other option.
Well, and it was a rough road or anything, but it's not like I started doing this queer ghost hunting or, you know, ghost podcast and it blew up overnight. It was like, you know, constantly trying to get the word. I still a lot of people don't know about it. Now there's just so much content all over the place, but like it's never ending. But I think if you're passionate about something, it's sort of going back to the, like, this is taking forever for something to whatever. But I don't know if it's what you're really into and it's something that you have to do, you figure it out and you just keep going. And
yeah,
and I'm like, what's the other option? Like, I really like this and I believe in it, and I believe that something will come of this if I just keep doing it. Because I always was telling myself, like, there will be a day when a bunch of people find my podcast, and then now it's like there's a streaming platform of my podcast here. They can now go back and binge years of it because I've just kept doing it. And I'm very grateful for the people that listened to it from the beginning. But I just kept doing it just because I liked it. But wait, let me go back to the fork in the road, because I will say there are some people that like that other path and it works for them. And there's some people that I think are maybe their interests are more heteronormative or whatever, and they just so happen to have attraction to the same sex or whatever it is. But
well, it also doesn't have to be all-encompassing, I think. Like, the fork is a fork, but if you find even either for safety or for the culture that you live in, that it actually makes more sense to... But then I think the empowering part of it is deciding what parts of your life that you allow to stick out a little bit from the norm, because it's not, I'm trying to learn in my therapy, it's not, nothing is black and white, just like career stuff is not all success or all failure. So I think in broad terms, we can say there is a fork, but almost every day, probably as queer people, no matter where you live, you have to decide what parts of you you're going to decide to stay on one side of the fork versus the sides are going to stick out on the other side. I think it kind of is one of the realities of being not a hetero person.
Yeah. And I think I try to find like the beauty in it, or like the specialness of the queer experience, where I'm like, yeah, this is part of it, babe. And it's, there's always going to be our challenges or whatever. But again, maybe it's because I'm sober or I don't know, but I'm, when I see a challenge, I know that when you overcome it, it makes you more powerful. And
100%. And it's all, I think, happening at a time when you can appreciate, you know, all this. I'm sure like the show happening now would feel different than it happening 10 years ago.
It would, I would have been a nightmare. I would have been a mess. I needed to go through a lot of what I've been through to, and I've also gone through a lot of therapy specifically about being on television or having like a wider audience know who I am. Mm-hmm. That scares the shit out of me. I think, again, it's like my control stuff, because I'm like, okay, now it's out of my hands. Now the scary transphobes and stuff can find me. And now everyone has something to say about my appearance or my whatever. And it's just like, luckily I went through, I've, and I continue to go through therapy about that. And it all comes back to the mental health, baby. It's so important.
Can I ask about, I totally agree. And I have some curiosities about the sobriety of it all, because as you said, you're 9 years sober, which I want to, you know, huge mazels to you. So as a sober person, what do you do for a pick-me-up if you're not going to the illicit world? What is Roz Hernandez doing if you need something to make you, you know, feel good after a long day?
I'm addicted to nicotine. I don't do cigarettes, though, but I, like, I'll try anything nicotine that's not, like, tobacco. I love sweets, and...
Me, too.
I also just think that whatever I have is not necessarily a problem with one specific substance. I think it's, like, this pattern I have where it's, I do something, and I love it so much, and I do it way too much, and then I end up feeling bad about what I just did, and now I hate myself. It's like this, I do that constantly, and sometimes if I'm not taking good care of myself, it'll be shopping, it'll be food, it'll be like, it always finds something.
Kind of like a compulsiveness, is that the word for that?
Oh,
like
totally. Let's go back to the circle bed and the tarot sign in my living room. Like, it's a lot of that.
Can you see the floor of your bedroom?
Well, I have shag carpeting in my bedroom, so.
Oh, so we can see shag.
So we can
hun.
See shag, babs.
Oh, well, that's all you need. I feel like as long as you can see shag, the rest is fag, bitch. we're using fag as a compliment.
I'm triggered after what the ghost said to me.
I do need to ask you the next famous podcast question. Roz Hernandez, if the world was ending, you could only save one character actress, who would you save?
That's a hard one. There's so many. I mean, I'm a huge John Waters. I would say Mink Stole, probably. My bathroom is Divine and John Waters themed.
So you were born as an elevated queer person at 4 years old. You're in Michigan, and I just picture you talking to the woman at the antique shop, you loving the John Waters of it all. To me, you've like, don't you feel you have this like otherworldly, sage, grounded queer person inside of you? That's the vibe I get.
Well, you know, it's also my advice to queer people, and I'm sure it applies to all kinds of people, but from my experience as a queer person, I find it is so important to have queer mentors and older friends in your life that will tell you stories and teach you about things you might not know about. And that's like major for me. And some of my closest friends are like twice my age. Like,
you've always wanted older friends, and you've accomplished that. When I had Dan Savage on the podcast, it was a very, very good example of what you're saying, of like hearing stories that, you know, are very similar in ways to my experiences, but also very different because of the generational attitudes. And I totally agree with you.
My friend, like, I'm very close with the drag queen Jackie Beat, and we probably hang out like, I don't know, two times a week. We go like shopping or go out to lunch or whatever. And we're very hacks, like the TV show. We're in every definition, but we're very that. And we're just like constantly making each other laugh. And I'm always just like, what? Tell me about the 80s. It's just lots of storytelling. And
well, Jackie Beat is an institution.
Yes, she is.
We tried to get her on one of the live shows for the podcast, and I will say this, and I'm okay saying this, at the time we could not afford her. However, one day I will be able to, and don't get it twisted.
Oh, wow. I mean, if you just...
Don't tell her I said that.
Give her a vegan meal. She's newly vegan to the point where twice now I have hung out with her, and she had a t-shirt or some type of merchandise that said vegan on it. It's like, girl, we get it. Like, she's very newly vegan, wants the world to know. And I think it's lovely. Right. I think it's beautiful. But if you told her, I got a Beyond Burger with your name on it, she might talk.
Oh, okay. Beyond Patty?
Yeah.
And I'm trying to rhyme with Patty, but it's not coming to me. We love Jackie, and we love your Hannah Einbinder, Jean Smart, the even more queer version of hacks. Hacks. Queer hacks. And if it's not Las Vegas, where is the queer hacks take place between you and Jackie Beat?
The Valley. We go to the Valley a lot. We love the Valley.
I love picturing that. It's just the Valley. Speaking of different generations, I have on my list of questions that I need to ask you about. Is your dad actually a professional clown?
Yeah, and today's his 70th birthday. I just talked to him on
Happy
the phone.
Happy birthday, Dad.
He's cool. And he's also kind of, maybe that's where I get a lot of it from, where he's like, plays by his own rules. And yeah, he just decided he's a fireman, like a straight up fireman for 38 years. He wasn't like a captain or whatever. He was like a working hard fireman.
Wow.
And that man has seen some shit. And he retired recently. But his sort of fun thing for years was being this clown character where he would teach children about fire safety.
Oh, come on. Talk about putting your passions together. Clownery.
But that was like where I learned, like, to me, it's the same exact thing as drag. Like, people always joke about like drag queens are clowns. But like, for me, I have such early memories of going to the like costume / magic / theater makeup store or whatever with my dad and getting his Ben Nye makeup and my dad getting new wigs and stuff and seeing the transformation.
Ben Nye made you queer for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's been when I started being a drag queen. It just reminded me so much of the clowning, which I was. I was also a clown as a child.
It's kind of beautiful to hear that because you think about a Michigander fireman.
Mm-hmm.
And then you don't think about the proud clown parent of a gorgeous trans child. You know, it's like we love to see that.
Yeah. And it's also we grew up Mexican American in not a super populated area. And like his family moved there in the 50s, 60s to the Midwest to pick fruits and vegetables and stuff. And they were like forced to learn English. And he, I think, has always kind of identified with being an outsider. And I think that's like a big part of why he's always been able to understand my anything that's a little outside of the norm, which I'm very lucky for.
I love that so much. I mean, listen, if someone's going to understand what it's like to be outside of the norm, it's going to be a clown.
I mean, yeah, my dad wears more makeup than your mama.
Blessings. Peace and blessings. Well, Roz, I love this life story, and I cannot wait to see the biopic where you play yourself, and I will absolutely be helping the For Your Consideration campaign.
Thank you. But before this felt like therapy. I'm not going to lie. I feel like it was way deeper than I was expecting. But
well, Roz, I got a message today. Someone listened to the most recent episodes, and they said, "Why do I feel horny and like I want to cry?" And I said, "Sweetie, that's the vibe."
Wait a minute, you didn't give me an opportunity to make anyone horny. Listen, fellas.
Please give us your sex line talk.
Well, I mean, I lived my life as a gay man before I retired and became what I am now, this glamazon ghost huntress, stand-up comedian. Mm. But I go on these cruises doing stand-up for gay men.
Yes.
And it's very difficult for me because they're so hot. I recently... Mm. Met a guy on one of them that I was like, oh my God, there's a new term that I just recently heard. I'm on the app Field. I'm on every dating app, but that one, they have a term, homo flexible, which I think is kind of fun. A gay guy that's like, you know what? Yeah, a trans lady, sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my Twitter is, there's an abundance of very hot, homoflexible pornography. And I won't ask you anything specific unless you want to talk about it, but did this homoflexible person on this cruise get some Hernandez?
No. We kissed and we talked. That's one thing I've lost from my transition is that I no longer have like a hookup mindset. I used to, but once I started transitioning, I'm way more, I have to connect. I have to feel
I love that.
Safe and like I know you. And then my feelings start to develop. It's like so annoying. But I'm in an era right now where I'm very sick of straight identifying men. I have nothing to talk to them about. And I'm just, I don't know. I'm just not that interested. So I don't know if I'm just going to stop dating and putting myself out there or, you know, just kind of back off on it, but I'm excited about these conversations of queerness and people opening their minds to trying out different things these days, because it has been really exciting in my trans days of dating to see there's a whole other world out there that I've discovered. And
New Frontier vibes. I don't know if you're watching I don't think it's on the same network as your show, so I'm allowed to say whatever the fuck I want. It's From Couple to Thruple on Peacock. And I bring it up because there's a very, what we would call homoflexible person on the show. And they go to this resort with their girlfriend. They, of course, live in Bushwick, because why wouldn't they? And they're attracted to all bodies, and to me it is very much that exciting part of, like, they're down to clown.
So, well, this what part of what the opened my eyes when I was on this cruise and I met this person was, you know, I don't know the exact terms or whatever, but it's like a lot of guys that I date, it's like, whether they, who knows what the exact definition of their sexuality is. Who, mm-hmm. honestly, who cares? But they live their life very, like a straight male would, you know? I don't know yeah. if that's a stereotypical thing, whatever. But they just identify with straight male culture and they like the heteronormative relationship, which I'm not really that interested in. I think I'm too bossy. But like, it was exciting to me to meet someone that sort of lived their life like a gay man, but was still attracted to me. And
yeah.
I was like, okay, now that could work. Because what's so hard for me is that my job as a stand-up comedian that is very, like, powerful in the room with all these people, and I'm like talking about how I used to live my life as a man, and I'm talking about sex on stage and whatever, there's a very small percentage of straight men that are like, that's attractive. But I'm like, oh, if I can find a guy that's like, work, bitch, I can't wait to fuck you later, girl, that sounds fun.
I see that for you so hard and so good and so like work, bitch, and then takes you to poundtown.biz. That we manifest. We absolutely manifest. And I dream, and I mean this, I dream of one day somehow getting hired on a cruise with you and Zach Noe Towers and just dancing till the water cows come home.
Yeah, we have a good time. Because the two of us are both sober, too. And so when we do these, it's a lot of time at the buffet. And it's fun.
Listen, love me a buffet. Especially if there's a dessert line involved. Roz Hernandez, I sadly have to ask you the final podcast question that I did not prep you on. However, if Catholicism made you queer, what's keeping you queer? Is it a pornography? Is it a sandwich? Is it a gorgeous gay man? A homoflexible person? What's keeping you a queerdo?
What is key? Now you're making me think, yeah, you're right. I should get out of this lifestyle. It's not doing me anything good.
I'm actually, this podcast is meant to convince people to stop identifying as queer. Yeah. This is reverse conversion therapy.
You know, I think that there's just so much wonder and mystery and fun in the world. And that goes along with my paranormal interest where I have always been like, there's got to be something deeper. And I think that queerness, a lot of it is about redefining these norms that we're told or have been put onto us, and exploring. I think exploring is really fun. And at this point, I have not gotten bored with it. So I'm just going to keep getting queer. Queerer and
let's
queerer.
Do a ghost cheers to lean into the ghost of it all. A ghost cheers to exploration.
Yes.
Clink. Roz, thank you so much for coming on That's a Gay Ass Podcast. Before we officially stop the recording, can you tell us where to follow you and what you want us to look out for?
Okay, so my Instagram is at Roz Hernandez, and I recently started like liking TikTok because it's fun when you win, and I've never won until recently. And I just like put that clip where the ghost calls me the F word, got me followers and views and stuff. So now I'm like, oh, I like TikTok. And then the next video I put up, 2,000 views. Hey. So anyway, so I'm on there. It's Roz Hernandez. And then my podcast, which comes out every Thursday, is called Ghosted by Roz Hernandez. And I love that. And it's definitely a comedy podcast. We just talk about ghosts and aliens and Bigfoots and all of that. And then, okay, this TV show, Baby. Here's the deal. It came out during the strike. And unfortunately, I think a lot of particularly gay men have not... didn't even know about it. So I'm not even mad at anyone. I just don't think that it came across their desk. And it's actually only been, for me at the time of this recording, like the past week where a bunch of people finally found out about it 4 months after it came out, which is very exciting. Yeah. Because I've had some frustrations the past couple of months being like, gays, we made a show for you guys, please. So this show... we were produced the show and teamed up with each other, you know, kind of, I guess you could say we were put together by the same people that created Queer Eye, both iterations of it. So they kind of use the same process for this to apply as sort of a Queer Eye with ghosts. And it's five of us. We're all LGBTQ, very diverse within that. There's kind of all the letters are sort of covered. I'm there. I'm the researcher. I'm getting into the dead people's business and I'm acting a fool the whole time. We've got two hot queer ladies that one of them is... she practices African spirituality, which is not something you see on television a whole lot. And it's really fucking iconic. She's sickening. And then the other one is a tech sort of expert when it comes to like different equipment for talking to ghosts. And then we've got two sassy, gay, southern psychics. Honey, I got a feeling something's happening. We got that vibe going on, girl. And that is enough to tune in right there. So all eight episodes are on Hulu. If you live outside of America, you can find it on Disney Plus or Star Plus. And I would love so much if you watched it, if you told your friends. We're just trying to get the word out about it. Because if we want different kinds of queer, interesting shows to be made... we got to show Hollywood that people want to watch them. So check it out. Support the fam.
Amen. It really is such a good show. I will obviously link it all in the show notes. Be tagging Roz on the Instagram. Follow her everywhere. And come on now. Living for the dead. We're gagged. Period. Roz, what an amazing interview. And I mean this. I will see you in the world. And I'll be... how am I going to make a ghost reference to end this off? And I'm going to see you in the real world, and I'm going to make you my boo. Boo, I'll workshop it. Thank you for listening to That's a Gay Ass Podcast. If you enjoyed, feel free to tag us on Instagram. And if you want to see us live, we're doing the Netflix Is a Joke Comedy Festival May 9th. I just confirmed a gigantic... comedy star who's doing that show. So feel free to get those tickets. Link is in bio. And head to the Patreon for the bonus episode this week where we talk about gay dating, our inner critiques, and Pierce Brosnan's delicious chest hair, Mrs. Doubtfire. Patreon.com/gayasspodcast. I love you.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.